Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The word of God from the Holy Gospel found in Luke chapter 3. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This is God's word. Out in the western Upper Peninsula, back during the time of the Civil War in 1863, it was decided by the U.S. federal government that they needed to improve transportation between two of the Midwestern forts, Fort Howard in Green Bay and Fort Wilkins in Copper Harbor up in the Keweenaw. So the U.S. government set out to widen one of the old fur trading routes. The old route was called the Old Superior Trail, and it ran up through northern Wisconsin, through Shawano, up through Phelps, and then up kind of along Highway 45, U.S. 45, up through Waters Meet, and then continuing on north through the western UP. But that old trading route wasn't enough. That was the route that the trappers and the natives would take as they conducted their commerce. They needed something wider, more reliable. Can you imagine what it must have been like in those days to try to widen roads, to try to plow through that rough hardwood, the brush, the overgrowth? Can you imagine the painstaking task that would have been? Now, the goal was to ease getting supplies from Fort Howard up to Fort Wilkins in the Keweenaw. The problem was the war ended in 1865 and the road wasn't finished until 1872. The road actually became something that served the opposite purpose. Instead of getting supplies from Green Bay up to Copper Harbor, it was now a means for the UP and northern Wisconsin to send their timber and their copper and their iron ore down to be distributed and sold to the rest of the nation. But none of it could have happened without a road being cleared, without a path being made where everything was in the way. John the Baptist comes preaching about repentance. And he does it in the wilderness. And we can learn a lot about that as God's people. And you can learn a lot about it just by looking at the hardwoods that surround you here in the UP in northern Wisconsin. And knowing what rough terrain it is. That can teach you about repentance. Because for John the Baptist, repentance is turning away from sin. That's what the word repent means. But even more that, it's clearing out of your path everything that stands between you and God. You see, the image of the wilderness is important in the Bible. Because it's in the wilderness where the people of God wait for promises to be fulfilled. John is in the wilderness preaching, waiting for the promise of the one who would come after him, the one greater than him. Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, trusting in the promise of his Father to provide for him. Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, awaiting their entry into the land of promise. Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden into the wild land to live off that hard, brutal land. And they waited for the promise of the one, the seed of the woman, who would crush the head of the serpent, as foretold in Genesis 3. You see, we are wilderness people as well, and not just because we're hardy youpers and cheeseheads who can handle a cold, brutal winter. We are wilderness people because we live in a spiritual wilderness. We live here waiting for the coming of our Lord. As Israel waited for a promised land to come, as John preached in the wilderness, waiting for Jesus to come after him, we wait for our Lord to come in glory. We live here in the land of struggle, of brutal terrain, where thorns and thick overgrowth and brush cut at us and tear at us day in and day out. We are in the wilderness. We wait the Lord who comes to us. And John the Baptist tells us in our gospel today that as we wait in this wilderness for our Lord, we should prepare his way. As he says in Isaiah, in our Old Testament reading for this morning, he's the fulfillment of Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be lifted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. If you think cutting through the wilderness in the 1860s through the Upper Peninsula is difficult, imagining lowering hills and raising valleys, bringing mountains low. Imagine trying to do that in the days of John the Baptist, in the days of Isaiah the prophet. Repentance, you see, is very difficult work. It's uncomfortable. It forces you to ask difficult questions of yourself and of the condition of your heart. I remember as a child, my own experience with road building wasn't much of a road. We lived out on our 80 acres out in Upper Pine Creek, and behind our house, about 200 yards, was a little clearing where my dad wanted to build a hunting blind. But there was really no way to get to that little clearing from our house, so we needed to create a path. It meant Dad with the chainsaw cutting down lots of popple and birch and maple and oak and pine and everything in the way. It meant us kids hauling out brush, and then maybe some of you have done this before. I never forget my dad doing this. Taking the three-wheeler, hooking up an old metal gate on a chain behind it, and driving it back and forth and back and forth down that path. And as you're out there hauling all that brush and pulling all the branches, it cuts at your legs and pulls at your clothes. It snags you, cuts your skin, scratches you up. It's kind of painful, uncomfortable work to clear out a road, to clear the way. As we reflect this Advent season on having a Lord who comes to us, ask yourself, what brushes in the way? What needs to be cleared out? You know, in order to do that, you have to know God's word. You have to know his law. You have to know his commands. You have to know what he has called you to be and how he has called you to live, to know the things that are getting in the way, the sin you're holding on to, the pride you won't let go of. You have to know what his word says. You might actually have to pick up that old small catechism that's all dusty since you were in confirmation class and revisit those Ten Commandments and their explanations to know what it means to live as one of God's people, what sin looks like in your life. Because believe me, the day will come when everyone will know exactly what sin is. When everyone will know exactly who Jesus is. Because everything that we've failed to clear out of the way, Jesus will come and clear it with fire. John says to the Jews gathered in the wilderness, I tell you, Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Because if that way between the Lord and you is not clear, it will be burned. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2 about the day that will come when this is startling to think about, that a day will come when every single person will become a believer. But for some, it will be too late. Because you see, when Jesus comes on the clouds in power and glory, there will be no question about how God means to save his people. There will be no doubts about Jesus being who he said he was. And so Paul writes, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess in heaven and earth that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. In our reading today, Isaiah foretells a time when all flesh will see the salvation of God. The day is coming, dear friends in Jesus Christ, when who Jesus is and what Jesus has done will be made plain to all. In the meantime, clear the way. Get rid of those things that are standing between you and God. I'd like to think that if I was forced in the 1860s to clear out a road, it would be the sort of job that was too big for someone like me. Maybe a lot of us would have felt the same way. We would have needed someone to clear that way for us. If I remember rightly, I think as we were trying to clear out that area between our house and that deer blind, if I remember rightly, I think Dad finally got someone with a tractor and a brush cutter on the front of it to aid in the work. You see, the sin you have in your life that stands in the way between you and God, it's too big for you to carry. And so our Lord, who comes to us before that day when he comes with fire to burn all things that do not bear fruit, he comes to you today, not in judgment, but in mercy. He comes to you not with fire, but with his own blood. He comes to you to carry that which you cannot carry, to uproot that which you can't uproot yourself. He comes to take the boughs, the limbs, the brush, the mess of your life and carry it on his own very shoulders to his cross to pay it in blood. Because you see, repentance starts at the cross. Receiving what God wants you to have. Being filled with his Holy Spirit. Being given the gift of new life that our Heavenly Father wants you to have. Being made children of Abraham. The Jews that were gathered there to hear John preaching, they said, they kind of thought their place was secure. I mean, they were children of Abraham, after all. John tells them, I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. And he has. He's made you children of Abraham. You are the fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham so very long ago. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. You are God's child, you are Abraham's child. You are Abraham's child by blood. Not by the blood that runs through your veins, but by the blood that Jesus Christ shed for you. How is the way between you and God made clear? It's made clear by the blood of Jesus Christ. The way between us and God is covered in the blood of Jesus. And we walk that way through that blood. He comes to us through that blood. He comes and meets us today with forgiveness, life, and salvation. Today, as you examine yourself, as you examine the things in your life that keep you from God, that are put in your path, the brush that needs to be cleared, receive the one who comes to you this very day to clear it away, to forgive your sin, to pay the debt of all your guilt, to pour out on you the promise of eternal life. Because you, dear children of Abraham, have all of this through him, the one who comes, the one whose way we prepare. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.